Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf. Erech and Daf Yedbeis, we begin right on top, Iboiluhu. So, as we learned yesterday, the Levim would perform, would sing their Shira, vocally and instrumentally, during the Hakrov of the Karbonis, specifically when they would do the Nisachim of the wine, pour the wine on the Mizbeach, which typically, you know, accompanied the Karbonis Sibur. Now, the Halacha allows the Nisachim to be offered at a later date. Rashi brings the Gemara, Menachos. You can even do it at night. You can do it tomorrow. So the actual, you know, Tamid is today, but the Nisachim tomorrow. What happens if that's exactly what took place? Nisachim were separate from the Karbon. Does it earn a Shira, or perhaps not, because it's not together with the actual Karbon? Iboilu. That exactly was the question posed in the Beis HaMidrash. Nisachim habayim b'fnei atzman. We have a case where Nisachim are offered independent of the Karbon. Again, Rashi explains, Kigon Shiviyu Ayim Karbon Tzibur, on the top line. Rashi says they offered a Karbon Tzibur, but they didn't bring the, they didn't have wine available. Leiviyu Nisachim Ibai, rather, Veiviyu Lamacha, they brought it tomorrow, which you can do. Damar Maz, we learned back in Menachos. Menachasim Niskeim is teaching us, Balaila, Menachasim Niskeim for Lamacha, at night, next day. So this wasn't at night, of course, because as we learned yesterday, the Shira is specific to daytime. So they brought it during daytime, but at a different time, different day, right? Does it require Shira? Perhaps there's no Shira requirement. What are the factors at play? Says the Gemara, on the one hand, we have yesterday's halacha. Shira is meant to accompany the pouring of wine. Okay, so in this case it qualifies. Amrina, go ahead and do the Shira. You have wine being poured on the Mizbeach, do the Shira. Or you can say no. You need the full package. The wine that accompanies a karbon, idulma al achila, for actual eating, ushtia, and drinking. It's a reference to the, Rashi says in the third line, karbon, which is the achila, the consumption of the solid food. Unasacham, that's the drinking, so to speak. So only when it comes together as a package, korban with nesachim, then comes the shira. Alachilu ushti amrinan, then we express shira. But in this case, it's only drinking. Ashti luchuda loy amrinan. Perhaps there's no shira. Tashmai comes a raya. So we had this brisa yesterday. Rabbi Yisi megalgul zchus liyam zakei Hashem attaches a good event to a good day, a day which has already been titled as a yom zakei, and the same in the reverse. Hashem will make a negative happenance occur on a date which was already tagged as a negative day. And the Brisa went on to explain, and actually it's very important for the Gemara coming up in today's daf. So perhaps let's go back to the Brisa of yesterday. It was Yud Aleph Amud Beis. So when the lines widen, it's the second wide line. We have Toshma, Rabbi Yisrael, Megalgun, Schusim, Zakai, Vechazim, Chayv. Amru, the following was related regarding the tragic happenings of Churban Beis HaMikdash. Kishacharav HaBayis, so when the Mikdash was destroyed, Bereshoina, the first time around, the first Beis HaMikdash, Oysayim Tisha B'Av Haya, it was actually on Tisha B'Av, right, which is the epitome of Yom Chayev. Was established as such when the Meraglim returned to Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar, and they were upset and they had this negative presentation about Eretz Yisrael, and they cried. And Hashem says, "Well, you're crying now. It's going to be established as a historic time of mourning," and that's exactly what happened. The Tisha B'Av was a day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed both times, and the Brisa continues to give us more, you know, specifics regarding that time. Umutzay Shabbos Haya was Mutzay Shabbos, meaning it was Sunday. Umutzay Shviz Haysa, it was Mutzay Shviz, the year after Shviz, the Shviz being the seventh year, so this is the next year, the first of the next seven cycle. And it was Umshmata Sheyo Yarav Haysa, who was in charge of the Mesa Mish, which group of Kahana were on rotation, Yayarav. Vahyu Kahana Levim Amidim Ala Duchan, they were standing on the stage, Avim Shira, and they were expressing Shira. Which Shira were they saying? Mashira Amru. So technically it was Sunday. They should have express the chapter Hashem Aretz Meloya, which is appropriate for Sunday, but actually they didn't. Vayoshev Alem Es Oinam, which is from Wednesday, Rotzem Es Misim, and they didn't get a chance to finish it until they were overtaken by the enemy. Okay, that was the Braisa in full. Let's hop back over to today's daf, which pretty much excerpts that Braisa. In short, Hashem Aretz Yomer. So we're at 7-8 lines from the top. Megalgan Chuslim Zaka V'Chulu. So they sang. Now, what was the occasion for singing? Hai Shira Ma'avite. What was the context of that Shira? Ilay Madailas Chayva. Was it to accompany a mandatory carbon like a Tamid? Mihava? Did they even have access to those? They didn't have Oilas Chayva at that point. Habeshiva Sabatamas, right? But La Tamid, we have a Mishnah back in Tainus that. It was already 3 weeks since they brought a Talmud, right? Shivasa Batamas was Batla Talmud. They couldn't bring the Talmud. They didn't have access to the lamps. So it wasn't feasible to have a Oilas Choyva. The only option remaining is that it was a voluntary Oilah. They found a cow or something which is not suitable for the Talmud, but they brought it as an Oilah. Whatever you can do, right? So are you suggesting it was Oilas Nedava, and that is what triggered the Shira? But we already conclude yesterday, V'atani Rav Mari, Breid Rav Kahana Delay Tzricha. There's no Shira for an Oilas Nedava. So why were they singing? El Lav de Nesach. The only option available is Nesach. They had wine available, and they poured the wine. You can't bring the carbon, at least the wine. Right? So they sang along with it. So what does that tell us about Nesachim triggering wine, that apparently Nesachim, even independent of a carbon, earns a shira? Amar Rav, no, b'tayma, some say Rav Ashi, no, b'tisper, how can you suggest that it was, in fact, a proper shira? Look, it was the wrong shira. Shira d'yemei, the proper shira for Sunday is Lashem Ha'aretz Meloya. And they weren't singing that. Vayoshev alem es oinam, which they were actually singing, that's from Wednesday's portion. B'shira d'arba'a b'shabu, that's from the fourth day in Shabbos, that's Wednesday. Who? Elos, you have to say, it wasn't really an official shira. Ilya means like a mournful chant. Ba'almuhu d'nafil b'mayu, they started expressing this mournful chant. It was sort of put in their mouth, the bashkacha pratis, it was an expression reflective of what was going on around them, being attacked by the enemy, and they were sort of relating to that with this pasuk. So it wasn't really a proper shira. Okay, so it's unrelated to our discussion. But they were standing on the stage. Well, Imdim al-Dukhan al-Katani, Brisa clearly describes them as standing on the stage. Well, that's not an issue, because Rish Lakish. Rish Lakish already told us that you can do that any time. Rish Lakish, Imrim Shira Shalal Karban. Levim could choose to do shir even without a carbon, get up on the stage and sing to Hashem. Says him, okay, so Iyachi ben Asachim Namilema. If they have the green light to sing whenever they want, so why not do that from Asachim? Why are we, asking whether or not there was shir by Asachim, independent of a carbon? Just get up and sing, do it anyways. Ben Asachim Namilema. The answer is no. This is worse. Nafik minei churba. It's going to create confusion, misunderstanding. People might say, look, this is a voluntary shira being sang with nesachim, so let's assume every shira being sung, with a proper nesachim, with a proper karban, is really just voluntary, and you can just, it's up to you, right? Arbitrary. So in order to avoid that type of confusion, of course, they would not allow an unrequired shira to come along with nesachim that are being poured separate from a carbon, if in fact nesachim do not require a formal shira. So yeah, on the one hand, you can do shira whenever, because there's no room for confusion. People see, look, they're getting up without any carbon, great. But our question pertains to nesachim that come independent of a carbon, where we would not allow just plain singing, because then it could confuse people and mislead them to think that every shira with nesachim, even with a regular karbon, is just a rishus. So the only allowance would be if it's really required. And that's our question. Is it required or not? If it's required, great. If not, don't do it. So we still leave that question open-ended. Okay, once on the topic of the timing and the dating of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, let's go back to that brisa. In fact, analyze it in full and detail with all the numbers, the context of the historical events that surrounded it. Gufa, Rabbi Yosef, Megalgal, Chosleim Zakai, Bechul. So the first destruction, right? The first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on a Sunday, B'moitzoi Shviyis, the year after Shemitah. Shemitah is the seventh of the seven-year cycle. This took place the next year, what's called year one, right? The first of the next cycle. Ask the Gemara, how is that possible that it happened on year one? B'rishonah, the destruction of that first Beis HaMikdash. B'moitzoi Shviyis, Mimishkachla, how could it have possibly taken place on year one? We have a pasuk where Yechezkel HaNavi is describing a vision that took place way later, and he presents two timelines. He posts two time frames with respect to his experience. He says, "V'oksiv." First of all, "Be'esrim v'chamish shana l'galusenu." It's taking place 25 years into our galus. Okay, so it's 25 years after the galus began. And at what point in the year, which Rosh Hashanah, beginning of the year, Ba'as L'Chodesh, at the 10th of the month. Now we're going to see in a minute, that can't be Rosh Hashanah, which is the first of Tishrei. It must be Yovel. Yovel is the year that follows Shemitah. So we have 7 years, 7 year being Shemitah. The next year is Yovel. So, meaning every 50 years around, right, 7 times 7, comes the 50th year, which is Yovel. So Yovel is a 50-year chunk, right, comprised of 7 sets of 7, 7 Shemites, concluding with the 50th, which is a Yovel, where you would not plow, not plant, not tend to your farms. In fact, the farms will go back to the owners if they were purchased within that time period. The slaves are freed, right? And that happens on Yom Kippur. That's when they blow the shofar. So that sort of kicks off the Yovel year. So the beginning of the year, meaning the Yovel events are sort of expressed. They commence on Yom Kippur instead of Rosh Hashanah. So Yom Kippur is like the head of the year, beginning of the year. But Rosh Hashanah be'esel ha'chodesh, that's a Yovel year. So again, it's 25 years into Golus. And here's another time frame. 14 years post-destruction. Ba'aba esrei shana achar ashahuk sa'ir. 14 years after the city was overtaken, destroyed, Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So first, let's establish the type of year. He says it was Rosh Hashanah on day 10 of Tishrei. Eizu Yishanah, can we figure out what year has Rosh Hashanah fall out on the 10th? Shir Rosh Hashanah bas l'chodesh. There's only one option, that's Yovel. Have Yomer, ze Yovel. Rashi explains about 15 lines from the top. He says that's when the events happen, that's when the city, the slaves leave. Vaz niris, then it's apparent, then it's expressed, the Yovel is expressed. Vaz niris ye Yovel. So that's the commencement of the Yovel experience. Okay? So he's indicating that he's on a Yovel year. What else? He says, I'm standing at 25 years after Golus began and 14 years after the Churban. So perhaps before we continue, let's just figure out the numbers here. Let's get the full picture. So we have Nebuchadnezzar taking over the kingship at year one. His year one, that's when he began. The next year, which was the second year to Nebuchadnezzar's reign, he went ahead and he challenged Yehoiakim, who was the king of the Eden, and he overtook him, kibush yayakim. Okay, so now Yoyakim was subservient to Nebuchadnezzar. Okay, so year two of Nebuchadnezzar, he picks a fight with Yoyakim, overtakes him. A little while later, it didn't work out, and Nebuchadnezzar actually replaced Yoyakim with Yoyachin, who was Yoyakim's son. A couple years down the road, Nebuchadnezzar came once again and attacked the Yidden Eretz Yisrael. This was year 8 of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, and it was only year 7 of Yoyachin. At that time, he took a whole huge group of people into Golus. So Golus actually took place in two separate phases. First phase was Golus Yoyachin, okay, year 7 of Kibush Yoyachin, which is actually the same as year 8 of Nebuchadnezzar. It's one and the same, just different points of references, right? And ultimately, later on, 11 years later, was the actual Churban Habayis, the final Golus, the final exile. Destruction of Yerushalayim, Beis HaMikdash, and the complete exiling of our nation, en masse. The Gemara speaks about the first Golus being the Golus of the Cheresh V'Hamasker, many, many times the Chachamim were taken into Golus at that point to prepare. It was a chesed Hashem did to prepare Bavel with yeshivas, with Torah, in preparation for the mass Golus that took place 11 years later. Now, Yecheskel was part of the first Golus, which is called Golus Yoyachin. So when he speaks about something that occurred 25 years into our Golus, he means his personal Golus, meaning counting 25 years from the first, from Golus Yoyachin. Now, as we're going to see later, the number 25 starts the year after the Golus Yoyachin took place. So he's talking about 25 years into Golus. Okay, important to keep that in mind. So 25 years is not including the actual year of Golus. He's speaking 25 years into our Golus experience. So year one of his 25 starts right after Golus Yoyachin the next year. Now he also makes another point of reference. It's been 14 years since the Churban HaBayis, which is really one and the same, right? Because Churban HaBayis was 11 years after Golus Yoyachin, right? Plus 14. The total 25, it's the same number, just a different point of reference. Now, by the way, this only works if the number 14 in reference to Churban HaBayis starts from the year after the Churban, meaning you have the year of the Churban and then you start 1, 2, 3, etc. So he's talking 14 years post-destruction, once we've already experienced destruction, in a state of destruction. Okay, so ultimately that's going to be the correct understanding of his numbering, but the Gemara will have some back and forth till we get to this clarity. Okay, so again, just for clarity's sake, we have Nebuchadnezzar showing up at his year one. Next year, he picks a fight with Yoyakim. That's called first year of Kibush Yoyakim. Then it was transferred to Yoyakim. And at year 7, which happens to be year 8 of Nebuchadnezzar, the first Golus Yoyachin took place. Okay, now not counting that year, you add 11 years, then we have Churban HaBayis, which was year 18 of Kibush Yoyachin, which corresponds to year 19 of Nebuchadnezzar. He's always a year ahead because he started a year earlier, right? And then plus 14 more years, that's when the Nevuah of Yecheskel takes place, the one that's being described in this pasuk. Now, he says he's standing on Yovel. So, we're going to try to backtrack and based on this information, figure out what year within the Shemitah cycle did the Churban HaBayis take place. The Brisa states it as being year one of the Shemitah cycle. Let's see how that works. So, if Nebuchadnezzar Yecheskel is on Yovel, now the Gemara at this point figures that the number 14 that he's talking about actually began from Churban HaBayis itself, not from the year after, as we had said. That's going to be the Maskana, but now the Havamim Gemara figures that year 1 of his 14 is the actual year of the Churban, That's a little problematic. Because if he's on a Yovel year, which is year one of the Shemitah cycle, Yovel follows year seven, right? So, we backtrack. Let's see in the Gemara. V'yisaka daitach b'chad b'shvo choruv. If in fact the Churban occurred on year one of a Shemitah cycle, and now we're standing at year one as well, which is the Yovel. So if you count back, to get back to a year one of a Shemitah cycle, two cycles ago, that's 15 years, not 14. We're short a year. If you count from this year one to the previous year one, that's Tamni, that's 8. Go back to the previous year one, L'chad b'shavu achrina, at 8 plus 7, that's 15, not 14. Chamesh Esri Havin, it's 15. We're short a year. Amar Avina, no, his 14. The count starts a year after the Churban. So including the year of the actual Churban, it is 15. It works perfectly. Amar Avina, Barbarasri Shana, Achar Shana Shuksayir. Yecheskel is relating that he's now standing at year 14, aside from the actual Churban year. So you have the year of Churban plus 14, so it's a total of 25. Ask the Gemara. So Gemara again figures that the other number, the year 25 that he's talking, from the time of Golos Yoyachin, actually included the year of the Golos Yoyachin as well. Right? So now, we're actually over our limit. So if you're telling me that it's really 15 years from the Churban, including the year of Churban itself, it's 15. So why is it only 25 years since Golos Yoyachin? It's really 26. Right, because if you start counting from Golos Yoyachin, which was year 7, up until not including the year of Churban HaBayis, so you're going from 7 to 17, that's 11. Plus the year of Churban and the 14, that's another 15. 15 plus 11 is 26. So why is he saying 25? Yachi Resim B'chamesh Shana, so why is he citing 25 as the number? From the start of Golos Yoyachin until today. Esrim Rishay Shavim, it's really 26. Esrim Rishay Shavim. And we're assuming that he's including, when he spoke to 25, he started from the actual Golos Yoyachin year, not the year after. Then what will change that soon? Because really it is 26. But if you start from the year following Golos Yoyachin, it's really 25. That's going to be the answer. But at this point, we don't know that yet. So again, from the Churban until today, it's 15. From Golos Yoyachin, including the year of Golos Yoyachin, till the Churban, it's 11. 7 to 17 is 11. Then from 18, all the way down till where we're standing today, 18 plus 4, year 18 plus 14 is 15. 15 plus 11 is 26. Or as we learned in a Brisa and Seder Olam, this is the timeline. Golo B'Sheva, the first phase of Golos Yoyachin was at year 7. Of Kibush Yoyakim, Golo B'Shmoina, which corresponded to year 8 of Nuchadnetzah's reign, as we explained, it's all the same thing, just a different point of reference. That was the first phase of Golos. So it was at year 7. Golo B'Yudches, the final phase of Golos, Churban Beis HaMikdash, was Golo B'Yudches, was year 18 of Kibush Yoyakim. So Golo B'Yudches, which actually happened to be year 19 of Nuchadnetzah's reign. So if we calculate from year 7, year of Golos Yoyachin, up until the Churban, not including 18, that's the next count, but from 7 to 17 is 11. Mishrei, from year 7, Bat Tam Nisri, until 18, not including, so 7 to 17 is Chatzri, 11 years. Plus the year of Churban, plus the additional 14, V'chamesh Esrei, plus the 15, gets you to 26, Esrei Mishis Havin. Amach Ravina, says Ravina like this. I'm going to prove to you that the total number, the 25, does not start from the actual year of Golos Yoyachin. That's separate. Okay, so it's really 25 plus that year. You're right, it is 26, but 25 does make sense because it starts from the year following the Golus, which is really year 8 of Eyakim. So 8 to 17 is 10, plus 15 is 25. Amuch Ravina l'didach minicha. So basically, Ravina was the one who told us that the number 14 starts after Churban HaBayis. So it's really 15 since the actual Churban year. That was Ravina's chiddush. Now he was challenged with this new kasha. He ended up with 26 years. Because 15, if it's 15, so it's 15 and 11, it's 26. Amuch Ravina, so Ravina responds, Odidach minicha, according to you, you're challenging my assertion that the Churban stood out on its own. It was not counted into the 14. You're challenging that. Odidach minicha, according to you, why is it any better? You're also going to end up with an extra year. Michti, look. Golu Nami B'chanistri. According to the understanding of the Gemara at this point, when the Raisa spoke about the second Golus occurring during year 18 of Yayakim and 19 of Nechanetzar, we thought it was one and the same thing, but at this point the Gemara figured it two separate events, that actually there was a third Golus. There were three phases to Golus, year 7, year 18, and year 19. So if that's correct, Michti, look, Golu Nami, they also had an additional Golus, B'chanistri at year 19, which was the final Golus with the destruction of Beis HaMikdash. So now even according to you, you're stuck with an extra year. Because from the time of the first Golus, which was year 7, until 19, is 12. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18. Not including year 19. Right? Because year 19 is the year of the Churban that is counted as part of the 14 following the Churban, according to you, right? Mechti, look, Golu Nami B'chanistri, they had an additional Golus during year 19. After the previous goal is at 18 and the previous goal is at 7. So Misheva Tishsri, let's count from 7 to 19, not including 19. That was the year of the Churban. Tarsi Tishri, it's from 7 to 18 is 12. Plus the 14. Vabasri, plus the 14, the year of Churban and the following 13. So you have, you're again over the limit. Tarsi Tishri Vabasri, that's Esr Mishis Havin. You're also stuck at 26. Oh, so you have to say, apparently, that the year of Golus itself, Golus Yoyachin, year 7, stands alone. Was not included in this calculation. When Yechesa spoke about being 25 years, Le Golus Seinu, he meant 25 years of Golus experience. Year 1 beginning after the actual Golus took place. Elamais Lachmeimah, so how are you going to resolve this issue? That 25 is levar, not counting in, aside mishata de goluba, the year of the actual golus, the year the actual golus took place. So you trim off 4 years, you're back at 25. Okay, likewise, according to my approach, once we apply this solution, it all works out. Levar mishata de goluba. Right? The number 25 is levar mishata de goluba, aside from that year 7, the year of Golus. So Golus Yochanan was at year 7. We don't count that into the 25. We begin the next year, year 8. So from 8 to 18 is 11. Plus 14 is 25. Okay, so according to Ravina, the number 14, since Churban, that count begins from the year following the Churban. Right, so it's 14. Plus you add the 11 from the Golas until the Churban, from year 8 to year 18. 11 plus 14 is 25. Says the Gemara, okay, so you resolve this difficulty, but what about that question of 19? If there was an additional Golas in 19, then we're really stuck. So either way, we're stuck on that first question, Tishsri. The question relating to 19, the Ravina Kashkwan, is very difficult to resolve because even with all these trimmings, we don't count in the year of Golos Yayachin. We say the year of Churban Habayis was pre-14, not counted into the 14. With all these arrangements, we're still stuck with an extra year, because if in fact there was another Golos at 19, so the Churban only happened a year later than we thought. So now you have to count from year 8 of Yayachin, which is the year following that first Golos, all the way till 19. Right? So from 8 to 19 is 12. And then you have the additional 14, which is 26. Says the Gemara, no, we misunderstood. Mis Avers, do you think Shalosh Golos Havu, there were three phases to exile? No. It was really only two. And these cross numbers are just different points of reference. The first Golos, the first of the two was Golo B'Sheva L'Kibush Yayakim, a year 7 of Yayakim, Shishmoyna L'Vchanetzah, which corresponded to year 8 of Nechanetzah's reign. And there was another phase, the final Golos was at 18/19, Golo B'Shmoyna Esri L'Kibush Yayakim. The final Golos and Mass was at year 18 of Yayakim, Shichasi L'Vchanetzah, which happened to be the 19th year of Nechanetzah's reign. As we learned, Shana Rishana Kibush Ninveh, the first year of his reign, he conquered Ninveh, which was the headquarters of Ashur, the capital of Ashur. And he went on to pick a fight with the Jews. It turns out Beis Shnia, Allah, the Kibush Yayakim, went up and he conquered and he overtook Yayakim. Okay, so it's pretty clear. The Churban occurred at year 1 of Shemitah. Nebuas Yecheskel was also year 1 of Shemitah, was a Yovel actually. And Yecheskel referred to the Churban as occurring 14 years earlier, which works because you have the year of Churban on the first year of the Shemitah, followed by 14 more years, taking us around two cycles of Shemitah, so back at year 1, perfect. And it was also 25 years after Golos Seinu, our Golos, meaning Cheskel's personal Golos, which occurred during the first Golos Yayachin. So if you start year 25 from the year after that Golos, which is year 8 of Kibush Yayachim, so 8 till the Churban, which is year 18, is 11, plus 14 is 25. Says the Gemara V'chein V'shnia, same exact configuration. The day of the week, the year of the Shemitah cycle, etc., all happened again, repeated itself exactly the same way the second time around during the Churban Beis Hamikdash Hashem. Says the Gemara, hold it. How is that going to work? How is that to be that the second Mikdash was destroyed on Matzoi Shviz, which again means the first year of a Shemitah cycle? It's not going to work out mathematically. Look, let's take a close look at the numbers. Bayis Sheni Kamakam. How long? For how many years was the second Beis Hamikdash standing? We know it's 420 years. Arba Meo Veshem. Okay, so let's break it down into 50-year pieces. How many Yevels do we have? Very simple, 8, right? Each Yevel is 50 years. Arba Meo, so the 400 are comprised of 8 Yevels, Tamani Yevel. Leaving us with 20 years. Okay, so out of the 20, 14 are two Shemitahs. Arbisrei, the 14 are Trei Shavua, 2 weeks, two sets of seven, two Shemitahs. What's the remainder? 6 years. So we're at the 60 of the Shemitah. We're not at the first year. Pashulu Shis. So we're left over with six. Havali B'Shit B'Shavua. So we're at six. At year 6 of the Shemitah cycle, the next year we had the Churban, which is the actual Shemitah year, not year 1 of the Shemitah cycle. So we're 1 year off. Haman Yerbidi. The answer is Golan Rabbi Yehuda. The Amu says, there's a big machlekes how to calculate the Yovel cycle. So every 7 years we have a Shemitah. Every 7 cycles we have a Yovel. According to Rabbanon, it's year 50. And after year 50, we start again year 1 of a Shemitah cycle. So Yovel is basically its own entity. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's different. He says Yovel really has a double identity. He's Yovel, but he also counts as year 1 of the next cycle. Right? So you check off the first year, give it to the Yevil, and then after Yevil, we start from year two of the Shemitah cycle. So it's sort of all overlap. The Yevil counts as Yevil, but it doesn't have its own year. It's already the first year of the next cycle. The Amar says, Shnas Chamishim, the year 50. Oyvul Kam counts both ways. It counts as Yevil, but also counts as year one of the next Shemitah cycle. So technically you save years. Instead of a Yevil system being a 50-year system, it's only 49. It's really 7 times 7. Yevil is already the next Shemitah cycle. Okay, so let's go back to our calculation. We spoke about 8 Yevils, 50 apiece. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that's really 49 apiece. So you've saved yourself 8 years. You have extra 8 years to work with. I see. Let's bring back Tamanya. Let's bring the 8 Mitamanya Yevai from those 8 Yevils. So you have 8 extra plus the 6 change that we had before. Vahanishis. Oh, perfect. Bingo. 6 and 8 is 14. A perfect double cycle. Havi Arbesar. So it's 14, which comprises 2 Shemitah cycles. So the Churban occurred after all this. So 420 years gets you to the end of a cycle, perfectly at the end of a Shemitah cycle. Next year we have the Churban, year one of the next Shemitah cycle, perfect. Okay? So this assertion that the Churban Habayis, second time around, was on the first year of the Shemitah cycle, appears only to work according to Rabbi Yehuda. Otherwise we have 6 years left over, which gets us to the middle of nowhere. Says the Gemara, okay, that's great in terms of the timing of the second Churban. But, Rabbi Yehuda, if in fact we are following Rabbi Yehuda's configuration in terms of the Yovel arrangements, we're going to run into complications regarding the first time around, regarding the Churban of the first Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yehuda, we're showing the Mishkachasla, because according to the Braisa, the first Churban also occurred on that very same type of year, i.e. first year of Ishmita's cycle, which according to Rabbi Yehuda is not going to pan out. Kisanya, listen to this braisa. So Rashi explains, we know from the Pesukim, that Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash when? At year 480 after we left Mitzrayim. Now if we deduct for the 40 years that we were wandering the Midbar, it puts us at year 440 upon entering Eretz Yisrael. We know that the first Beis HaMikdash stood for 410 years. So how many years since entering Eretz Yisrael? How many years after we arrived in Eretz Yisrael did the first Beis HaMikdash get destroyed? 850. Now 850 is exactly 17 Yovels, right? 850 divided by 50 is 17. According to Rabban, it's exactly 17 Yovels. And in fact, that's what the Braisa says. The Sanya, Shiva Asar Yovels, Mani Yisrael. Klal Yisrael counted 17 Yovels, Mirisha Nichon Shal Oretz, Vashi Yotzu, from entering until being exiled. Now, the Braisa continues, you can't say that actually the count began exactly when we entered. It must have been 14 years later. You can't say that they started counting manu, that they started counting mishah shenichsu upon entering into Israel immediately. Because if that's the case, then fast forward 850 takes you to the end of a Yovel cycle, so it's actually on the Yovel year. Right? Because otherwise we're going to say that they began their Yovel count from year one upon entering Eretz Yisrael. Nimtza bayis churban b'tchilas Yovel. So the Beis HaMikdash, which experienced its churban exactly 850 years later, which is exactly 17 Yovel cycles forward, so we have the churban on a Yovel. That's impossible. According to Yecheskel HaNavi's description of his time frame. He's standing 14 years after Churban and saying that it's a Yovel. It's impossible. I could have a Yovel 14 years apart. So it must be that we have to offset things by 14 years. When it began, there was a 14-year delay. We only began counting 14 years into the 850. In which case, the Churban took place at a year 37 of a Yovel, and the Yecheskel was speaking 14 years later on the Shemitah, on year 50. Because otherwise, Nimtzabai is Churban Tchilas Yovel, the Churban happens on Yovel, and it's not going to fit with the Pasuk that describes Yecheskel at year 14 after Churban being a Yovel. So you have to say that everything's offset by 14 years. Ella, rather, you have to deduct from them 7 years to conquer the land, 7 years to allocate it. And only then did they begin the Shemitah Yovel count. So it's a delay of 14 years, which now works perfectly. Which gets us to our desired goal of Barbas Reshon Achar Asher Huxayir. That when you're standing 14 years after Churban, now it's Yovel. Okay, great. Now, V.W. Yehuda, if we're going like Rabbi Yehuda, that a Shemitah Yovel cycle, I should say a Yovel cycle, is only 49 years in total. It's 7 times 7, and then the next year is Yovel, but it's already the beginning of the next Shemitah cycle. So of these 17 Yovels that we spoke about, based on a 50-year increment, it's really 49, so you're saving yourself 17 years. So you left over 17 years, which is two Shemitah cycles plus 3 years. You are at year 3 during the Churban. Stuck right in the middle. Well, nowhere. It's not year 1 of a Shemitah cycle, as per the Braise. So let's get the 17 shifts from the 17 yovels, the extra years. Shadi Ahani. Add it to the yovels, right? Each one being only 49 years plus the 17. So now we're at 17 years after a yovel. It's exactly year 3 of a Shemitah cycle. 7 plus 3. B'Shavua, it's the third of a Shemitah cycle. So we're nowhere to be found. We're nowhere near the first year of a Shemitah cycle as per the Bryce's description. Says the Gemara, hold it. Not so quick. We're going to lose some years somehow. Hanach Shnei Daglinu Sancheriv. We know Sancheriv came up and took the Aseres HaShvatim into exile. So there was a period of time during the Beis HaMikdash's reign that there was no majority of Klal Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. Most of our nation was taken away. So from that point, Ad Asa Yirmiyah, until Yirmiyah went and Adrinu and restored them, brought them back to Eretz Yisrael, which reinstated our population, which re-triggered and reactivated the Shemitah Yovel count. You can't count Shemitah Yovel when there's no population. Like a Chashul, so those years were not counted. So you deduct some years, in which case it works out that we end up exactly bullseye on the first year of a Shemitah cycle. We were some extra years, we deducted, and we're back on track. Iboyisem, another pshat. So this takes us back to the first Kasha we had before. Second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on Motzei Shvi'is, which means year 1. It's not going to work according to Rabbanon, right? Well, guess what? It could. Bryce discussed many parallels. There were things that happened, right? The first time around, it was Sunday, first year of Shemitah. It was the time of Yayarov. It was all kinds of, right? Tisha B'av, right? So when the Braisa refers to the second Beis HaMikdash having experienced a similar experience, replicated the first, it doesn't mean in all aspects. It means begins on a Sunday, like the first time it means on Tisha B'Av. It doesn't mean the first Yevam Shemitah cycle. That was limited to the first time around, not the second time. So the Brayis is following the Rabbanon. The first Churban was on the first Yevam Shemitah cycle. That works perfectly. The second Churban was not. When the Brayis says V'chein, the word V'chein B'Shnei, the second time around, Ashor, it's on the other things, on the Tisha B'Av, on the Sunday, Yechalam Mistam, I'll even prove it to you that it wasn't an exact replication. Because otherwise, Mishmartu Sheyayorav. Bryce states that the first base of Israel was destroyed during the Mishmar Vyayorav, during that group of Kehanim who were in charge. Well, actually, they weren't around during the second base of Israel. Bishnia Miyavoy, were they even around by the second base of Israel? At the time, we have a Bryce that not many, Kehanim came back to Yerushalayim with Ezra. Matanya, Arba Mishmaris, Olam Nagal, only four groups came up from Golos. Yedaya, V'chorim, Pashcha, V'imra, these four families. Not Yoyarav. They weren't around. So that proves our point. That it wasn't an exact replica. So what did they do? They had only four families. They had to divide them to, they had 24 Mishmaris, 24 rotations. So they had to take the four families and subdivide them. Each one of these four subdivided into six. The Nevi'im, should be named. The Nevi'im amongst them got up and decided, they took these four families, split them into 24, so six per family. Balulam, they took their names and put them on tickets, mixed them up into a lottery, put it into the lottery box. Bal Yedaya, so first up was a member of the Yedaya family, he picked out his family's name, of Sheish, and Rashi says it was Ruach HaKodesh, that all six tickets that he picked out were all from his family, meaning, the main one and the six subsets. So this way they were all sort of, in a row now, right? And then Ba Charam, we turn to the next Amid. Ba Charam, the next member of the next family came along to determine, when they're going to be serving. Benatol Chalke v'Chal Chaver of Sheish, he picked out his own, and all the, subsets, subcategories, a total of six within the Charam, umbrella. V'chein Pashcha, v'chein Imar, likewise, it repeated itself in Pashcha and Imar. V'yiskinu Nevi'im Shebenim, and the Nevi'im established a rule, Shafil Yerav. Rosh Mishmaris, even if later on, eventually Yerav, the head, he was the master, he was the head Mishmar, he was the first on the list, even if he decides to return, too late. He's not going to get his own slot. Le'yidacha Yedayim Kuyim, Yedai will not be pushed away from his slot. We'll let Yerav serve, but sort of under the umbrella of Yedaya. El Yedaya Ika, Yedaya will be considered the primary server, and they'll serve under their, under his name. Yerav Tafalo, Yerav will be like the secondary, the helper. So bottom line, Yerav never, was not part of the configuration. How could we say that the Churban occurred during Yerav's watch? There was no such slot. El Ash'aros, you're compelled to say, the Churban, a second time around, wasn't an exact replication. It didn't have all the elements of the first Churban. In fact, it didn't happen on the first year of the Shemitah cycle. Rather, it happened on the Shemitah year itself, as we said before, which fits according to the Rabbanon's calculations. Rav Ashi Amar is another solution to our issue. We said that according to Rabbanon's calculations, we have 6 years past the Shemitah cycle. So the Churban occurs on year 7 and not on year 1 of the next. Rav Ashi Amar Hanach Shis, Shni, let me explain to you where those 6 years disappear. We have to deduct them. Get rid of them. Okay, so that takes us back to year 1 of a Shemitah cycle. Because Adas Solok Esra Makadish, like a Choshelu, the 6 years from when they started building the Shemitah until Ezra came up and actually sanctified and was Makadish and they started to count. Until they were Makadosh Eretz Yisrael, they were not counting Shemitah and Yovelis. So they go 6 years off the count. The pasuk says, "Badin betelas avidas beisel lakonadel beishalayim." The pasuk continues that there was a halt. There was a work stop, a construction stoppage. They stopped the building beis hamikdash. The pasuk continues until when? Until the second year of Daryavish. Achnas tart numachos Daryavish. Okay. Then it says, "Uksiv." They resume the Binyan Beis Hamikdash, and it was completed. Uksiv Shetzaya, the completion of Beis Adin of this right of the Beis Hamikdash, Adyan Tlos L'Rech Adar. It was the third day of Adar. The Shas Shnas Shis L'Machos Dayavish, which was year 6 of Dayavish Malka. So we're now 5 years later. V'tana, we learned the Brisa, Vayis Hazman, L'shan Abba, next year around, Ola Ezra Gulusayim, Ezra came with his entourage. And as Rashi explains, this is Chodesh HaChamishi, right? It's the fifth month, which is Av, and he only began counting the Shemitah years, you know, the year towards the Shemitah cycle, beginning of the next year, Tishrei. So we're talking a total of 6 years from when the Beis HaMikdash was starting to be built until now when Ezra was Mekadesh and started counting the Shemitah and the Yovel. So it's a gap of 6 years, which you deduct from the total count. So if we were 6 years over, now we're back to square one. And in fact, the Churban occurred on year one of a Shemitah cycle. Okay, let's recap today's daf. We had a shayla regarding the Sachem. Alone without a carbon, do they earn a Shira or not? We have the Brisa describing both Churbanis occurring on the Sunday, Tisha B'Av, Matzoy Shviz, which is the first year of a Shemitah cycle, during the Mishmar of Yoyarov. We analyzed the year count based on the two Galuyos in light of Yecheskel's description and his time reference, speaking about 14 years after Churban, 25 years into Galus. We worked that out. We substantiated the fact that the Churban Beis HaMikdash occurred on the first year of the Shemitah cycle. First time around, the second time around, and we had several ways to explain it, based on the Yehuda, based on the Rabbanon. All the numbers worked out. According to one pshat in the Gemara, second Beis HaMikdash was actually not destroyed in the first year of the Shemitah cycle, and the similarities between two Churbanim relate to the other elements, being Sunday, Tisha B'Av, Shibana Beis HaMikdash, Merv Yameinu, and Tisha B'Av will transform into a Yom Tov, L'sasson L'simcha, Merv Yameinu Amen.